Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, choir, for that lovely interpretation of our scripture passage this morning. I thought that was a really lovely kind of way of rewording some of what the passage said in ways perhaps that are a little bit easier to understand. I don't know if you noticed how often the words kept being repeated in our scripture reading today. In fact, you might want to go back and count how many times the word abide showed up in scripture. It shows us how important that word is. This morning's passage from the Gospel according to John is part of a much larger passage, and it's often called Jesus' farewell discourses, because this is Jesus is speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper, and so he is telling them all of his accumulated wisdom, preparing them for life after he is gone. So keep in mind that this is the Last Supper, and keep in mind all that is about to happen to Jesus as you reflect on this passage. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. He has predicted that Judas will betray him. And now he gets down to talking about the meaning of his work, all in the context of the cross. And that word, abide, it actually shows up 9 times. I went ahead and counted. It's there 9 times in this reading. He just repeats it over and over again. Abide in me as I abide in you. What on earth does that word mean? What is Jesus asking of his disciples? What is he asking of us when he says, abide in me? Well, even though it's not a word that we tend to use, I think, very often, but you can probably think of several meanings that that word has. Does Jesus mean, stay with me? Don't go away. Abide with me. Stay here. Well, that's one possibility. Does he maybe mean, obey me, abide by my rules? That's another possibility. Or perhaps Jesus means, wait for me, persist, be steadfast. Or how about, live in me, make your abode in me, and get your nourishment from me. These are all plausible options. I think Jesus probably means some of all of the above. Because all of these different meanings for that verb, abide, they're all woven together when Jesus says, I am the vine. I am the vine. And Jesus, what kind of vine is he talking about here? Well, he's not talking about an ivy, which kind of creeps along the ground, or the morning glory that really takes over if you have it planted near a trellis. Jesus is talking about a grapevine, something more substantial than a morning glory, something more important. Jesus is the grapevine, a vine that bears fruit. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah compared the whole nation of Israel to a vineyard that did not bear fruit. And Jesus picks up on that wonderful image, and he proclaims that those who abide in him will bear fruit. In Jesus, this whole vineyard of Israel is renewed. There may be some people here who drink wine, and if you do, you've probably heard about French wine. You probably have heard that France is one of the great centers of the wine industry, and grapes are, of course, grown in many, many places around the world, but historically, France has produced an amazing diversity of wines, and French wine is perhaps still the most prestigious wine that you can buy. Wine growing, I found out, dates back more than 2,000 years in France. So it had been around, wine growing had been there for almost 2,000 years by the 1860s, when those famous vineyards of France were threatened by a pest, there was an aphid that was destructive, and vine after vine died, and it no longer bore fruit. And so this important industry, this vital part of France's heritage, this vital part of France's identity, was near death. But then salvation came. The vintners were able to graft on healthy vine stock from California. And those California vines had originally come from France, but they had spent several decades in California, and they had become immune to this aphid pest. And so the vineyards of France were renewed, and grapes grew again. In the same way, Jesus, who is from this original vine stock of Israel, Jesus will renew the religious vineyard, and he will enable it to make fruit, to bear fruit. And Jesus uses this image of the vine to describe a disciple's life with God. Because you see, the vine that Jesus refers to is not something static and solitary. Vine doesn't grow just all by itself. It's carefully tended by the vintner, by the Father. And the vine puts forth branches, disciples, followers. This vine that Jesus keeps talking about is an image of relationship. Just as Jesus is given life by his relationship with God, the Father, we too are given life with our relationship with Jesus. The part cannot exist without the whole. The branch cannot live once it is severed from the vine. And Christians and Christian churches cannot survive without Jesus. There is no fruit apart from the vine either. Relationship with Jesus and with the Father through him, that is key to bearing fruit. All these things are interrelated: God, Jesus, the Christian community, the vintner, the vine, and the fruit. The branches are all essential to the fruit. And this is a wonderfully rooted, interdependent image. Jesus is connecting us to one another. We're not just connected to him, but we're connected to all the other branches out there. We are meant to live in this interdependent connection with each other, because branches intertwine for greater strength. And so the whole of the community is strengthened when we join together. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You and I can't have a separate relationship with Jesus. Because we abide with him, we abide with one another, and we bear fruit best when we are together. Because you see, the fruit is the important thing. The fruit of the vine is love. Love is the work of the Father, the vintner. Love is the nature of the vine, the Son. And love is the fruit of the branches, the disciples, you and me. How can we bear the fruit of love if we don't draw our nourishment from the loving vine, from Jesus Christ? As individuals and as a body, we've got to keep turning back to him. We've got to learn how to love from him. As branches abiding in Christ, we form the church, the body of love. And our job is to bear fruit as a community of love. And that means not only loving one another here inside this community, but also going outside our walls to bear Jesus' word and his works of love. Our ability to love each other is made possible because we love the lover. We love Jesus. And we have to keep turning to him with that same abiding love that he loves us. It's all about mutuality, reciprocity. He gives to us and we give back to him. And this is our challenge, to learn to abide in Christ as he abides in us, learning to love as he loves. We can draw deep nourishment from him as a child draws in nourishment from her mother's breast. And we can be steadfast in him, twining ourselves around him in love, so that we cannot be separated from him no matter what. In a few weeks, I'm going to reflect a few more on the recent field trips that we have had to various religious establishments, but I was really struck this week at the Sikh temple by the way our guide spoke about this interconnectedness of all people, and it reminded me so much of his passage. And he used the image of electricity and said that we are all part of this connected network of electricity, and that God is the electricity that flows through us if we are connected. And the fruit, I would say, would be light. So whether we are seeking to bear light to the world or to bear the fruit of love, we've got to be plugged into the source, Jesus, connected to his electric network, connected to his vine. We draw our nourishment from God, the great vintner, the source of electricity, the one in whom we abide. May we all be charged up with his everlasting love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.